we're not trying to sneak in nutrition or trying to hide anything. We're trying to be clear that, hey, this is a balanced product that we believe tastes just as good as anything else. Now you can eat pretzels again without feeling guilty or feeling like you're just eating empty carbs or empty calories.
I'm your host, Dave Knox, and this is Predicting the Turn, a show that helps business leaders meet their industry's inevitable disruption head on.
Welcome to another episode of Predicting the Turn. Today, we sit down with Cameron Smith, who is the founder of Kindling Snacks. Cameron, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. It's great to be here and great to chat.
Well, I want to start with the fact that you just started Kindling, but this is not your first time in the world of CPG. Can you talk to me a little bit about your background and then what led you to do Kindling?
Yeah, great question. So I joined Kodiak Cakes. And for those who aren't aware, Kodiak is pancake mixes, frozen waffles, oatmeal. And I joined that business when it was just around $1 million in sales and looking to really grow and scale. I didn't have a lot of experience when I joined Kodiak. I was coming out of college. And so I got really fortunate to join a business that was small and had a lot of potential. And over time, as we grew that business, I became a co-founder there at Kodiak. We started going out of more than just pancakes. We started putting protein in our pancakes. And so we started to find a lot of things that were working for the business and for the brand, from protein to building a brand that can be more than just a functional product benefit, but also a brand that connects and resonates with people, and then disrupting different parts of the grocery store that needed disruption and didn't have the innovation that we were bringing to the table. You look at frozen waffles, for example, what we did there at Kodiak Cakes. Frozen waffles, prior to us coming to that scene, it was Eggo that were your main players. There were a few others, and Eggo had, call it, a 70% share of the category at the time when we were looking to get into that space. And so we saw it as a huge opportunity to bring real innovation from whole grains and protein with a brand that would resonate with what people are looking for today and really just disrupt that space. And over time, we've been able to disrupt that there at Kodiak. So I was a part of Kodiak and growing that business. We sold Kodiak years ago to a private equity group, L. Catterton. And as we sold, there was that moment that Joel, who was my partner and a co-founder there on the business as well, that you start looking at the business and where it was at and where it had been previous, and that the business is significantly bigger and the stakes are that much higher and the pressure had gone up. And we're not the type of people to run away from pressure, but I think we saw this as, you know what, maybe this is a time to bring in someone who knows what they're doing at this phase of the game. It's just a different stage where Kodiak had grown to that point. And so we found a lady to come in and run the business, and she's been running Kodiak for the last couple of years, and it's been doing great. They're growing really well. I continue to buy it. I eat it. We had it this morning for breakfast. I continue to eat the products. As I was leaving Kodiak, and this was 2 years ago, well, 2.5 by now, I took it as my opportunity to pause and reflect on where I'm at and where I want to be. I started taking guitar lessons and skiing lessons because I lived in Utah at the time near Park City. And it wasn't like after a month of doing some of that, and I have four little kids, so making sure I'm showing up more for the kids than I had previously. But after about a month, I started chatting with just different businesses to help them think through different things that they're thinking through as they're growing their brands and businesses. And then later that night, I had a chat with my wife, like early February. And I'm like, hey, I'm going to need to do something. And she's, are you sure? And I'm like, yes, there's just an energy that I get from being a part of a brand growing, from solving the challenges of how do you stand out? How do you differentiate yourself from everyone else on the space? And then the thrill of the wins when a retailer says they're bringing it in. And then the challenges of we don't have enough supply, or how can we improve our margin, and all of those pieces. But really, it comes down to just leading teams and leading people. And that's what really energizes me. So it was around that time that I really started diving into, could I make a pretzel that has better nutrition and tastes just as good as any pretzel that's out there. So I started working on that, and I had been interested in pretzels because of, like I said, I have little kids. And so thinking through snacks for my kids, I like to run and be active. And so as I think about snacks for myself, also looking for other salty snacks that are out there, there's not a lot of salty snacks that have a good nutritional balance. Jerkies do it pretty well because of the protein, but outside of that, it can be a little challenging. And so my belief was, if we can find a product that tasted just as good as any other pretzel, but has more nutrition in it, I think we could land in a really good place. So started working on that, did a lot of iterations, got a product that I was really excited about, and officially launched the business like November of last year. We are 6 months in now, so we're still really early in where we're going and what we're trying to build.
Talent is a big part of predicting the turn. And as we talk about talent, I wanted to mention one of our sponsors, Hunt Club. Imagine the power of the best marketers in the world helping you to find your next marketing leader. That's the power of Hunt Club. Hunt Club is a new category of talent company that powers the network of experts, connectors, and business leaders to help you find the best talent. Let's face it, recruiting hasn't changed with the times. Hunt Club is changing the recruiting game by leveraging technology and crowdsourced referrals to find you the best people possible for your company. Stop paying job boards that don't work or recruiting firms that recycle the same active candidates. Partner with Hunt Club.
When you look at Kindling and that history of why you were inspired to do it, what you landed on from a mission is all about fueling life's everyday adventures. How's that mission shape the choices that you're making as you build the brand?
Yeah, that's a great question. As we think about it, my favorite books that I've read as I was putting this together was Building a Story Brand. And in that book, it was so interesting as I was listening to it, because there were so many things that we did at Kodiak, not realizing that it was a thing that was impactful for consumers and how they saw the brand. We were just doing that because we were thinking of ourselves and what we cared about and how we would want to be communicated to from a brand perspective. And so as I was listening to that book, Building a Story Brand, a lot of light bulbs started to go off for me in putting together Kindling, thinking about how we orient the brand. I didn't want this brand oriented towards, this is Cameron's brand and it's Cameron's pretzel business or any of those things. My picture on the back, you're welcome for creating this for you. That never really spoke to me. And that's not to say that brands who do that shouldn't be doing that. But what they said really loud and clear in that book is that people are looking for a guide in their life. Just Yoda is a guide for Luke Skywalker. People are looking for brands that can help them on their journey, because ultimately, everyone is the hero of their own day. And so as we've been building Kindling and putting together the branding, how do we make an impact? All of our communication, we've been trying to really focus on how can we show up as a guide for people in their day, which is why the name being Kindling of Get Your Fire Started. Personally, I love campfires. I don't love to camp. It doesn't make sense, but I love campfires. I love roasting marshmallows. I love just the moment, the fire crackling and everything. And starting lots of fires, you need the right resources to start it. Your kindling needs to be really good. And so we think about that from your own personal internal fire. You need the right kindling to get you going for any of those adventures you're going to do, for those family moments. And then even for your kids, you want your kids started on the right kindling. And then I always cared about an animal, because I think an animal can be so impactful and can connect you to a brand. And so as we thought about a fox, I love foxes for a couple of reasons. They're playful, they're resourceful, they're a little mythical in that you don't always see them. So when you do, it's a little bit of a moment. But really a big reason for the fox is the fox for my wife, it was always like her mantra. She always said to herself when she had a hard thing that she had to do, you're a feisty fox, you can do this. And so in all these things that we're putting together, we're trying to create this brand that connects and resonates with people. So when they grab it, they see it as, oh, fox, I'm like a fox, I can do this. Or kindling, I need to get my fire started. So that everything and every interaction they're having with the brand connects to themselves and what they're trying to achieve or what they're trying to accomplish. Kindling's not the hero. They're the hero, and we're trying to support them on that journey.
When you think about the journey and the choices you made for the product, you've also offered something that brings protein and whole grain wheat. How do you balance that with the snackability of what pretzels is as a category and kind of your first snack, if you will?
Yeah, it's so interesting because that's such a great point. And the way to think about Kodiak and the way we built that business, the moments are very different in those early days where Kodiak, a pancake mix, and usually people are eating pancakes on the weekends, and it's a moment there for their family. They're making the pancakes, and pretzels and snacks are very different. It's on the go, and the moment isn't really this, you're around a kitchen table and you're having that moment with a pretzel. And so as we think about what is that moment and how do we think about snacking, what's so interesting is this time that we're in right now, snacking feels like it's taking over everything that we're doing, where people are eating snacks for lunches. And so now, and I call it with my kids, I've noticed this for the last couple of years, whenever I'm packing, their school lunches are filled with snacks. They're not the traditional peanut butter sandwich or bologna sandwich, depending on how old you are. Now they're just it's the snack lunches. They're putting a Chomps bar in there. They're putting some fruit. And now they're putting some of our pretzels in there. And so that snack ability, that ability to have a product that delivers on those nutritional benefits that you're looking for, that you don't have to sacrifice taste or texture, so that eating experience, it just allows that permissibility for consumers that see products that check all those boxes to say, oh, I can eat this and I don't feel guilty. If anything, I feel that much better. So then what starts to happen as we orient towards these adults and parents and individuals, for them, now when you pack your kids lunch, or now when you give your kid a snack, when you give them a Kindling or one of those products that checks all those boxes, now you as a parent, you feel like you've had a little victory during the day. And I have learned that it's so important to have little victories on any journey. And any of those little victories, they can carry you to the next little victory. And occasionally we have these huge victories. Your kids are sitting and they grab a bunch of veggies and they're just chomping on me like, oh, I'm doing right. But oftentimes it's those little victories that keep you going day in and day out. And so for us, we're not trying to sneak in nutrition or trying to hide anything. We're trying to be clear that, hey, this is a balanced product that we believe tastes just as good as anything else. Now you can eat pretzels again without feeling guilty or feeling like you're just eating empty carbs or empty calories.
Talking about those little victories along the way, what skills and lessons did you learn over your years at Kodiak that you've been applying to Kindling?
Oh, that's such a great question, Dave. there's so many. And what's interesting too, is I've been effectively working on Kindling now for 2 years. And in the 2 years, I have still learned so much and continue to learn so much. And the biggest learning from Kodiak has been the impact that building a community around the brand does for the business. Because you're so focused on getting the product on the shelf, which is hard and challenging. But what's even harder than that is getting the product to sell off the shelf. And we saw that at Kodiak. And we saw where when we would put a product on the shelf and it would just sell really well, we knew that we checked a lot of boxes right. And then we also saw when our community rallied behind a product, there were times where some people would hop on social media and they'd say different things about the brand. And you knew you had a community when people would rally behind your brand and almost defend you like it was, like they were a part of the business or they were a part of the tribe, because for them, they are a part of it, because now the brand identified with them and who they are. And so that's been the biggest thing for me that I've wanted to learn over there and apply here. The other thing has been that, and I've seen this with business, margin is so important. And margin in the early days and margin over time and how you can grow that is so important. And we saw that at Kodiak, and we learned that through different experiences, and we're seeing that here. But your margin when you launch a business, and this has been one of the hardest things for me, Dave, is when you launch, you are so inefficient. Your packaging is going to cost more than ideally it's ever going to cost. Your ingredients cost more than they're going to cost. Every input that you have into the business, theoretically, is going to cost more than it's ever going to cost because your scale is significantly lower. And so that's been one of the big challenges. And I'd say I've known that, but it's hard to know at times where you should be. And so that's why it's been important for me to build, hey, where are we going and where do we think we're going to go so that we can make sure we have a good path that we can follow. That learning too of at Kodiak, we built blueprints. Where do we want to go? Where do we want to innovate? And I think about that here too. Where do we want to go and where do we want to innovate? And we don't get lost on that and focus on that too much here that it distracts us and we're always daydreaming about where we're going to be eventually because you've got to, that's an ego mentality and you need a execution mentality. And so for us, it's all about what are we doing today to get towards that path and really building out a blueprint of where we want to go. And that's some of the learning that I've taken as well. The last piece is people. You need great people. You need people who can challenge you. You need people who are approachable, people who are authentic, and people who want to grow and learn. And that has been super impactful at Kodiak. We had and have great people there, and we're trying to do that same thing here.
When you look at that, you think about what success looks like, and you've got such a unique lens because you start off the conversation with Kodiak. You had, when the business exited to El Caterton, you knew it was the time that you need to bring somebody in for that next phase of that company's journey. With Kindling, it's a very personal journey. It's related to your kids, your feisty fox, as you said, your wife's mindset. So what does success look for like for this business versus maybe what it looked like for Kodiak?
Yeah, that's a great question. What's interesting about that too is I think oftentimes when people think of what success looks like, we naturally go right towards finances. Right? I will be successful in life if I make X number of dollars. My brand or business will be successful if it brings in this type of revenue. Well, I saw that at times at Kodiak for us where we define success sometimes by revenue. And then what's interesting is when you pass that revenue mark, then you look back and now you're like, okay, wait, now what does success look like? And so the natural reaction is then to go to the next revenue number. But what I think revenue does do is it does give you a lot of indicators. Have you built a community? Do you have the scale now to be able to do more things than you would have done previous? And I was chatting with a good friend as I've been building this. And one of the things that he said to me that resonated is, this is an investment and you need to treat this like an investment. And so with any investment, you want to get a good return. And so it's been helpful for me not to be too emotional and Kindling and see this as, well, this is my baby, this is my family's business or any of these things, because ultimately this is an investment and I want this business to grow. And when I think about what success is for Kindling, I think Kindling will be successful if we've established a strong community, if we've been able to bring real growth to the pretzel category, and if we've been able to disrupt how people think about pretzels and eventually snacks. Now, there might be a revenue number tied to that or a number of people that we have on our team. And sometimes it's hard to really nail down those metrics, but that's how I think about success is, are we impacting people's lives? Are we growing? Are we learning? And then success from the business standpoint is, are we profitable? Are we sustainable as a business? Are we doing good? Are we making an impact on the people who live and work in Kindling on their lives?
Digging in on that success a little bit more, one of the things that was remarkable with what you guys did with Kodiak is in the world of retail, you have buyers, those buyers have categories. And the common move from a lot of brands is you have that relationship with a buyer and you grow within them. Kodiak started with the mixes and then you guys jumped that shelf-stable mix into the frozen waffles. And then you jumped into other categories. and you were going to different buyers, different spaces, different supply chains, et cetera. How's that impact as you think about Kindling? Is that something you're going to repeat? Do you stay in the lane? And what you learn from that?
When we first got into pancakes there at Kodiak, some of our biggest challenges is that buyers didn't really care about the pancake category. They had a lot on their plate. They had a lot of other categories that they were in charge of, pancakes and cereal and the hot cereal. So there were a handful of categories that they were responsible for. So when it came to pancakes, they had seen this as a commodity because there hadn't been any real innovation. And when there hasn't been real innovation to a category over time, retailers start to see it as a commodity. And so for us at Kodiak, we knew that if we wanted to grow the business, we needed to get outside of just pancakes. And so it wasn't necessarily intentional. As Joel and I were thinking about it, working on it, we fell into it. And then we started to see that a lot of the categories we were going after needed disruption and needed innovation. And so we were able to bring something new. And then the great thing is we were able to take the story of what we were doing in pancakes to some of the other buyers in the same retailer and let them know, hey, here's what we're doing in this category for you. And we have this or for your retailer, and we have this new item for you. And so the interest looked different. And it was, I won't say it was easy to sell, because selling retailers to bring an item in is never easy, but it allowed us to get through the door in another category easier than just being a brand new brand. And so the way we're thinking about it at Kindling, it's interesting because pretzels is a part of the overall salty snack space. And so when you look at the overall pie that we can go after, it's that much bigger. And so for us, we have a lot of work to do in pretzels, and we are focusing so much on what do we need to do? How do we need to get after the category and the retailers and really show up? The pretzel category, let's say just the pretzels alone, is a $2 billion category. And some categories in the grocery store are a couple hundred million, and you can still grow a pretty good business over there. And so for us, we want to build the brand. And this is what we learned at Kodiak. Is if you build the brand really well in one space, then when you show up in another category, consumers will follow you there. And when they follow you there, they're excited to see the brand there because they trust this brand, because this brand connects with them. You have that community. When you show up in a new space, they're excited because now they're like, oh, my brand has a product over here. And so like you think about, oftentimes there are times when consumers think about a brand, and I've done this, and my wife and I have talked about this, where there's a product and I'm like, I wish this product or this brand did this product because they could do it so well. And I would love it if they would do that. And so as consumers, we want brands to do more than they sometimes do. Will we do that at Kindling today? Like, I think we can eventually, but we have so much runway on pretzels alone that we're going to focus there for the near future. And then as we continue to grow, see where our consumers will allow us to go and where they want us to go, and whatever makes sense, then we'll run after it.
Over the years, you've been at the forefront of the growth of this high protein trend. And now you're once again at the forefront as you think about the high protein and the snacking. Where do you think that trend goes? And what do you have your eye on next?
Yeah, Dave, what's so interesting about this and so fascinating to me is I remember thinking years ago, we're thinking to myself, at what point do people think that they're getting too much protein in their diets and that starts to change? And as I was working on Kindling and getting it started like a year or so ago, I started hearing a lot about protein and that people are looking for more protein in more spaces. And as we've gotten closer and closer to this, it's fascinating because people are looking for protein in what feels like all aspects of their day, from lunch to snacks to dinners to breakfast, everything. And protein products are blowing up at grocery stores. And then you have more products that are showing up on shelves. And what's interesting is you have this GLP-1 trend, and people who are on GLP-1s, they need more protein and they need fiber. And so they're dialed into protein. I heard something the other day, women who are going through menopause need more protein. You have people who might have neurological differences that need protein, whether it's ADHD or autism or anything, they need more protein. And then you have people who are trying to stay active and trying to stay healthy, and their dietitians are telling them eat more protein and balance more of your nutrition. And so you have all these people hearing it from all different angles, more protein. And so I think where this continues to go is people want protein, but they want it in a product that they can eat all the time, that feels approachable, that's clean, that doesn't have a lot of questionable ingredients or things that don't resonate with them. But they want something that's going to taste just as good as what they're used to, but they can transfer over and they're not having to sacrifice taste or texture, which is why for us, we landed on the protein count that we landed on, because we tested it and we put as much protein in there as we felt like we could to still have a good texture, flavor, a good eating experience. And so I think protein, I don't see this slowing down. I think it's just going to continue to accelerate, but I think there starts to get more of a focus on what is the protein source and what is the product and how clean are the ingredients? Are there thousands of ingredients in there, or are there just a few? Is it approachable ingredients? And then I think you also have, does this product need protein? Does this make sense? Like beverages, do I need a water with protein in it? And I think we'll see those, and there are some of those products out there, but those might be a little bit more challenging for people that you don't have to have protein in that.
That's perfect. Well, I think that is a great place to close up the conversation. So can't thank you enough for sharing the story of your journey, and I can't wait to see where you continue.
No, thanks, Dave. It's been great to chat.
Thanks so much for listening. If you like the show, hit that rating and make sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And for more resources, head over to predictingtheturn.com.